It's me, the femme fatale, eager to get started on this here new podcast. And you know what that means? It means I pelt you hard with free autographed copies of my new book. It's called The Celebrity Playbook, and it's out now from Skyhorse, and it's a compendium, real word, on how stars really live, including exclusive dish on how they make their money, raise or don't raise their kids, and how they get out of hundreds of everyday pieces of drudgery that you and I as plebs must perform. How do I give away these books? I take your questions on this podcast about how Hollywood really works, and if I answer it here, you get a free book. That simple. With me this week is someone who's going to have to pay if he wants a copy, an extra if he wants an autograph, and that's Clint out in Chill City.
Hello, and by the way, I bought a copy.
You did?
Yes, years ago.
This is the second edition, son.
Do I need both?
Yeah, it's all new and updated with new celebrity facts.
All right, well, I'm still chilling for my free copy then.
Okay, well, you're my spy down in the Southwest, so maybe if you can earn it. Maybe you'll earn a free copy. As a matter of fact, you got some dish later on in the show about a favorite comedian, right?
I do.
Yes, later on in the show. Also, I have promised some little-known dish on the news that Bruce Jenner is definitely transitioning into a woman, and you're going to get that insight later on in the show. And finally, we've discovered an animal that can write.
Is it a raccoon?
I hope it is. I all I know is that it's an animal, and I'm hoping that my listeners can help me out with this. But first, Clint, read the first listener question.
Adam Taylor Gruel asks, do celebs really have to go to jury duty, or would our meager mortal minds be too starstruck to deliberate justice effectively in the courtroom?
Okay, Adam, you have a book. It's not technically written in the correct format, but it's a good question. You get a book, okay? Now, I know that Adam wrote that last part of his question as a joke, but he's not that far off. Longtime fans of mine, my true fame fatalities, if not bitchlings, know that I have addressed this in the past, but that's okay, because since I started doing this kind of God's work, new people have been born and actually grown up enough to learn how to write complete sentences, because we old, Clint.
Oof, and I'll be older this month.
Oh, well, happy birthday. And yet we're all still going to Jack White concerts.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you mean to go to a Jack Black concert and accidentally signed up to get tickets to the Jack White concert?
No, I'm on purpose going to Jack White.
All right. We need to discuss that at another time. So the answer is celebrities have served jury duty. Tom Hanks did it in a domestic violence case in 2013. Steve Carell has done it over an employment dispute, but usually on average, celebrities tend to get out of jury duty for pretty much the reason Adam said. You can't hand in a guilty verdict when your eyes are burning at the sight of a Madonna or a Charlie Sheen in the box next to you. And that's why those two people, along with Will Ferrell, Gloria Estefan, Cameron Diaz, Carmen Electra, Puff Daddy, Harry Shearer, Christina Applegate, they've all reported for jury duty without getting picked. The usual reason cited was their dazzling, distracting, hysteria-inducing celebrity.
Harry Shearer?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. The kids go crazy for Harry Shearer.
Recently?
Oh, yeah. You know that they it's like he's like the Beatles. Okay. They riot. They go nuts.
It's like a jury of hipsters would recognize him, maybe.
Yes, of frenetic hipsters. Yeah, he's definitely where all the 20-year-olds are at. I'm kidding, right?
Yes, I know you're kidding.
Okay. Just checking. Didn't know if the sarcasm registered through the Skype.
It does.
Now, here's some more intel. Stars who do show up for jury duty are often given special privileges. Here's an excerpt from a media report about a time when Brad Pitt checked in for jury duty. Here it is. He arrived to court in a chauffeured SUV and was allowed to park in the employee lot. He was ushered to a private room where he waited until he went to the jury assembly room for orientation along with the other would-be jurors. When the potential jurors broke for lunch, still not knowing their fate, Brad stayed behind in the private room and had someone bring him lunch from Subway. The average person in Chill City, that doesn't happen.
Subway?
Yeah, Subway. He ate fresh.
Just like us.
Now, I think it's about time that you tell me about the latest celebrity you've spotted there in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, that would be America's favorite Golden Globe co-host, Tina Fey.
Okay. Now, what is she doing down there?
She is shooting, I guess it's an untitled, it's actually on IMDb listed as the Untitled Tina Fey Project.
Yeah, I did some research into that. It co-stars Margot Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street and Morgan Freeman from Heaven. And it's apparently the log line goes like this. A journalist recounts her wartime coverage in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Am I missing the joke? Or do you think that she's going the Steve Carell route with like Foxcatcher and she's doing something serious?
I don't know. But, you know, Morgan Freeman is actually no stranger to Chill City. That would be Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
He was here. Was that last year I was telling you about? With the Johnny Depp movie that did absolutely nothing.
Now, and he was eating by himself, wasn't he? Or was he eating with a single person?
You know, I heard of sightings of him numerous times. And I think one time he was alone. But every time, as we've discussed, he was left unfettered by the Albuquerque citizens.
I have a theory, a going theory, which is the bigger and more legendary you are as a star, and actually the more respected you are as a star, the smaller your entourage. I hear that Tina Fey's entourage, you were telling me that it's only a few people, right?
Yeah, it was just like three or four. Actually, she was leaving as I was coming in, and so that's about the extent of it. But wasn't a huge posse or group.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that. And it should be noted that she was actually eating where Lydia from Breaking Bad took her last cup of coffee with the poison stevia.
So that place where they shot that is actually an actual working diner.
I would not call it a diner, but it is an actual working restaurant.
It's a restaurant. Well, because the booth looked like, it didn't look fancy in that show.
It's kind of a fancy breakfast, fresh foods kind of place.
Michael, did you actually witness Tina Fey eating?
I did not witness her eating.
She was just sitting there.
She was leaving.
Got it. Interesting. And this is another thing that's interesting about the timing here. You know, Tina Fey is creating a new show right now, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and she's a writer and a producer on it. And that's listed as currently shooting up in New York.
Interesting.
So I don't know, as a showrunner, how she can manage that, but that's pretty balls to the wall.
Are you questioning her powers?
I'm not questioning her powers. I'm just wondering what that means about how shows are produced. You know, like, did she just oversee a bunch of stuff and then kick it off to somebody else while she's down here shooting?
Sounds like a future episode for you.
It does sound like a future. I'm asking myself a question, and now you know what happens. I give myself a free book with my name in it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you read the next listener question?
Alrighty. John Phillip, quote, "That's how it's done, son," end quote, Burns writes via Facebook, "Okay, so I'll play fair. Is my life as a celebrity's pet the same as yours of the little people?"
I wish I knew which manner of pet wrote this. That's what he's saying. He's saying, is my life as a celebrity's pet the same as yours?
Did you see a profile picture?
I didn't, but do you think it's a cat? I think it's a cat. You're voting for raccoon, right?
No.
Okay. It's a cat, isn't it? If it's a cat that can write, that indicates that it can read and therefore is still qualified to win a free copy of my book. So congratulations, cat that can write.
I think that's John Phillip. That's how it's done, son, Burns.
That's a smart cat that thought of that name all by itself. I bet you he did. Anyway, this is a topic I've written about in the past. So, again, I'll aim this at all the people who have been born since I last visited this topic. No. The answer is no. 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 Celebrity pets do not live the same lives as plebe pets. As I put it in my book, here are some examples that are coming straight from my book. Several years ago, Mariah Carey had a Jack Russell Terrier. The dog's name was Jackson P. Muttley. The two of them had a special bond that no other man or beast or life coach could possibly understand. Now, I don't think that Jack is still alive. she may still have him, or perhaps he began to stifle her growth as an artist and she had to make a break. You know, I don't know what happened, but let's not get sidetracked. Mariah had a dog named Jackson P. Muttley, and when the singer had to fly once from New York to Los Angeles, she tried to book an additional first class seat for Jack. However, the airline refused. According to Carrie, who later relayed the disaster to British Glamour, the airline told her that the dog was, quote, too big for his own seat and, quote, wasn't famous enough to merit an exception. The airline workers responsible for this horrible incident are still at large. The airline still flies its planes with impunity every single day. Anyway, so what happened? Sometimes stars will book additional separate transportation just for their pets. For example, Mariah's approach: have your driver transport the dog cross-country to you in your Mercedes. Because yes, stars really do that. Sometimes people may try having the animal messenger to them. Did I say that already? Yeah. Messenger the animal?
Messenger.
Messenger, you know, via a pet transport service. Did you know that there are such things?
No clue.
Well, many, many A-listers, including Orlando Bloom, do this. They use a dedicated animal hauling service, such as Pacific Pet Transport. Now, Pacific Pet Transport also ships like movie animals like rattlesnakes, poison dart frogs, potato bugs to filming locations. Okay. Now, some actors have been known to pay for their own dog shipment. Kate Bosworth, it is said, dug into her own slim fit capri pockets to have her dog sent to Australia while she was shooting some scenes for a movie. And the dog had to be put in like a month long quarantine, but the filming took so much longer, it all worked out. A-okay.
That just sounds cruel.
To put it in there just for that?
Yeah, I mean, to put a dog through a month of quarantine, that's just rude.
She had to have her doggy woggy.
Yeah.
Now, usually, by the way, the stars don't pay for these kinds of things. They book it into their contracts that Warner Brothers or Uni will pay for the pet shipments. And the shipping service will pick up the dog at anywhere, any place, manager's office, Chateau Marmont, take care of all the documentation, blood work. Pet is then boarded onto a commercial airline flight, and then usually another Pacific Pet Transport agent hand delivers the animal to the final destination. So, for example, if you want to ship a golden retriever across country, it may set you back like at least $3,000, but for them, that's nothing. Clint?
Yes.
Are you still there?
I am still here. Are you ready for the final question of the day?
I think, yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. Vicky Walters is going to win herself a new copy of the Celebrity Paybook by writing, "Hi, longtime fan, love the show. In the midst of car shopping, and I have to wonder, is car shopping the same when you're a celebrity? Do they get picked up? Do they pick up their cars, or are they encouraged towards certain brands? Thanks."
All right. Now, you know that this is going to you're going to need to do some acting now. You know this, right? You've looked at the notes.
I see the script.
Okay, good. So, buying a car while famous is very different from buying a car while non-famous. Now, for this question, I texted with this guy named Mackie Dancy, real name, not making this up. Dancy Automotive. He supplies cars to incredibly wealthy and famous clientele. And because this was a text session, Clint and I are going to reenact that text session, that interview, for your benefit. Okay? Let's do it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do stars personally visit you, Mackie, when they are shopping for a car the way civilians do?
Never. They make a request, no matter how limited or how difficult, and it's up to me to make it happen without excuse.
So the stars call you, or do they usually have an assistant call?
Some call direct. Some communicate through staff, and some, believe it or not, communicate through their drivers.
No way, man. Their drivers call? That's kind of adorable. Do celebrities have a better chance of getting to the top of a waiting list for a limited edition car, or does star power not matter?
Most of the time, it makes a huge difference to most manufacturers.
So if the manufacturer hears that a star wants the car, the star gets to the top of the wait list?
Sure, most of the time.
Nice. Any other way that celebrity car shopping is different from regular people car shopping, like the way they pay? how fast they get their cars, anything like that?
It's faster. Full concierge, and they don't lift a finger. They don't do traditional visits, and they don't do traditional red tape. For my loyal customer base, I deliver the car before even getting paid sometimes, without paperwork. The goal is to satisfy the customer and worry about payment later. Of course, I don't do that with everyone.
Of course. So, in other words, if you or I wanted to buy a car from Mackie, we would have to go there and fill out all the paperwork and get a loan.
Yeah.
But if Swiss Beats wants a car, he can get one before he even has to pay. Now, hey, Mackie, who's your clientele these days?
You know, I hate to name drop, but one of my largest customers is Swiss Beats. I've done some work with Carmelo Anthony and recently Kevin Durant.
Thank you. That was really well done.
Thank you. I'd like to add that the screaming was his exclamation points, not my own.
You weren't really screaming. That's what screaming is in Chill City?
That's what screaming
that's
is in
really
Chill City.
That's really chill.
Welcome to chill.
All right. Finally, I promised you guys some Bruce Jenner gossip, and I'm going to give it to you. This week, in case you haven't heard, a source close to Bruce Jenner has confirmed through People magazine that, yes, Bruce Jenner is transitioning into being a woman. There's speculation has been going on about this for quite a while, ever since Bruce Jenner from now on, I'm going to start referring to Bruce as she, because I think out of respect, I think I ought to do that. I think it's the right thing to do. So recently she had reportedly had a tracheal shaving, like an Adam's apple shaving surgery. And also she's been growing her hair longer. So both of those developments have spurred a lot of speculation. Finally, in People magazine, a source close to Jenner says, yes, she's going to come out and start living as a woman. She's actually documenting the process through a reality show. Stay tuned. Now, this is all very interesting because less than a year ago, sources were basically telling people that the speculation was ridiculous, that it couldn't be further from the truth. And here's another quote. Quote, Bruce has never expressed any desire to become a woman, close quote. The whole thing makes it sound like, and here's another quote from the source, that this decision happened within the past year. Now, when all this was breaking, I got a call from one of my little birds, one of my little sources, one of my very, very connected sources, very smart sources, very trusted sources, who told me that that angle is crap. Complete BS, total lie. According to people who would know, Bruce Jenner has actually been talking about transitioning to a woman, or at least expressed a desire to, since at least the 80s.
Wow.
This has been going on. This rumor has been going on around people who would know since the 80s. So what that means in terms of Bruce's three marriages to women, I don't know. Bruce also has a ton of kids. She has two with her first wife, two from a second wife. And then, of course, came the blended family, and then came Kylie and Kendall Jenner. So she has at least six biological kids, not to mention stepkids in the Kardashians and all that other stuff. Now, I don't know then, therefore, what the Kardashians knew and when they knew it. But the source also told me something very interesting. The people who knew about Bruce's desire to become a woman back in the 80s, these were not best friends. These were not family members. This was the people who worked in the same circles as Bruce. It wasn't like Bruce's closest people. Like, the person who knew this and who, you know, related to somebody else who related to me was not somebody that you would consider necessarily a best friend. The reason I'm telling you that is because that's how many people knew about this. This was not intimate, arcane knowledge that only people knew if they were really close to Bruce back in the 80s.
Here's a question.
Of people knew about it.
So I will admit to being a little bit thinking people were jumping the gun about a year ago when people started saying this was what was about to happen.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's where the story developed so quickly, was because it was out there?
Yes. I have no doubt that this was common knowledge among certain circles, and that's why people were writing about it with such confidence. This wasn't just like tabloidy speculation where we said, oh, she's growing longer hair. Oh, she's doing this operation. Oh, no. This, you don't come at this story so hard without it being common knowledge in certain circles. So, yes. Now, that doesn't mean that Kris Jenner didn't know or did know, but I find it really hard to believe that these casual acquaintances way back in the 80s knew this stuff. And yet Kris, who's been married to him for a long time and who's really connected and was the ex-wife of a major lawyer, would not have picked this up somehow. That's it. That's what I got.
It is interesting. I mean, I wish her all the luck. I think it'll be a real learning experience for America.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is interesting. Just before I signed on, there was something that was reporting that he had had his he had talked to his mother about it this week, and she was more proud of him for doing this than she was winning all the gold medals.
Really? That's very sweet.
I think that's awesome. She's got to be 80s.
I can't believe that this would be news to her either, though.
Well, that very well may be. I mean,
unless she lives in like way out in Schenectady or something and doesn't have electricity. I don't know. But
you know, I think it's awesome that she would publicly say that.
Yeah,
it's a pretty powerful thing.
I think,
like I said, yeah. I wish him luck.
I wonder whether she will want a different name. I don't know.
I don't know.
So many questions. Also, what did Kris know and when did she know it?
You know, I mean, not a huge Kardashian fan, despite the
you don't say.
Despite the temporary addiction to the game. But Bruce has always been the much more interesting one. So that's all I'm going to say about that one.
Well, Clint, or you people listening, if any of you go to a dinner party and you say, oh, my God, she's just made this brave decision in the past year, you can call bullshit and you can say this is one of those things that has been around in Hollywood for a very long time. Kind of like me. I've been around since the 80s, too. 70s, actually. Full disclosure.
Hey, 70s is where it stops with me.
Thank you for joining me on my show, Clint. This has been another edition of my show. If any of you have questions for me, I may be able to dig up one or two more copies, free copies of my book for you. I'm talking about the Celebrity Playbook. All you have to do is write to me, and you're about to get instructions on that, with the following question. Is blank the same when you're a celebrity? And you fill in the blank. For example, is jury duty the same if you're a celebrity? Is bearing a child the same if you're a celebrity? Is transitioning to a woman the same if you're a celebrity? And if I answer your question on my podcast, you get a free autographed copy of my book, like the three lucky listeners this week. As far as how you can write to me, it's simple. Send me a message on Facebook via The Fame Fatale. Tweet me at Fame Fatale Says. Find me on Instagram. Find me on Tumblr, although I don't know why. Or you can always email me at leslie@thefamefatale.com. And if none of that makes any sense to you, you can always go to www.thefamefatale.com. And there is a handy feedback module there where you can ask your question. Clint.
Yes, ma'am.
All of your fans, how do they reach you?
I am on the Twitter at CBW. Uh-oh.
Literally. That's
literally.
Not part. That wasn't you making a mistake. That's the actual.
No, it's a C, a B, a W, U, H, O, H.
Thank you so much, Clint.
Thank you, Leslie.
Enjoy Jack White.
I will.
We will see you next week.